So our scripture lesson for today comes from the Old Testament, from the Hebrew Scriptures, from the prophet Jeremiah. This is a section in near the middle to the end of Jeremiah in chapter 31. The people of Judah, the southern kingdom, are about to be sent into exile, and Jeremiah is offering these words to them as they are forced to leave their land. Listen to God's word today. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, says the Lord. They shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, says the Lord. Your children shall come back to their own country. Set up road markers for yourself. Make for yourself guideposts. Consider well the highway, the road by which you went. Return, O Israel, return to these your cities. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, once more they shall use these words in the land of Judah and in its towns when I restore their fortunes. Quote, the Lord bless you, O abode of righteousness, O holy hill. And Judah and all its towns shall live there together, and the farmers and those who wander with their flocks. For I will satisfy the weary, and all who are faint I will replenish. And thereupon I awoke and looked, and my sleep was pleasant to me. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If someone asks you, where are you from? Your answer might be, well, I'm from Pittsburgh. Or if you're traveling somewhere in the country, you might say, I'm from Pennsylvania. And if you're traveling overseas, you might say, I'm from America. Sometimes we're asked that question simply as a way to make pleasant conversation. But often, that question is asked to determine our status. Are we a stranger or a friend? Are we an outsider or an insider? Do we belong here? And can I trust you? Every year when the 4th of July rolls around, we hear people talk about our nation that stretches from sea to shining sea, the land of the free, the home of the brave. And we do have much to celebrate. We have much to give thanks for as citizens of this country. We remember how America is a great melting pot of a nation, how for generations the Statue of Liberty and its slogan has welcomed countless numbers of families to our shores. But it's also sadly common to hear that the days of our being a welcoming melting pot are drawing to a close, that our borders should be closed. Or like the xenophobic sentiments expressed in the recent election in England for Brexit, that somehow it's time to take our country back. And suddenly in that context, being asked where you're from has a much more sinister tone. So maybe it's time that we answer the question, where are you from, with more honesty. Unless you are 100% Native American, none of us can say we're from America or from here. All of us are immigrants. All of us are aliens and strangers who have found our way somehow to this place. Now, no one likes to admit that because to do so means we self-identify with outsiders, with people who are different from us. And if you forgive the double negative, we don't like not fitting in. But if we identify ourselves as Christians, if we say we are followers of Jesus Christ, then fundamentally it is right for us to say we are immigrants. We are outsiders. We are people wandering over the face of this earth, yet not fully at home in this world. Because remember, most of the Bible and most of the stories in the Bible are about homelessness and exile and being strangers in foreign lands. In the book of Genesis, it begins with Adam and Eve being kicked out of the Garden of Eden and forced to wander east of Eden. And then in that same book, Abraham is going to leave his home and wander as an Aramean into the land of Canaan. Later, during the time of Jacob and his children, they're going to leave their homes and during that famine are forced to live as strangers, as guest workers in the land of Egypt, eventually becoming slaves in that land. And then in Exodus, the next book, Moses comes along to lead them out of Egypt. But again, they're going to wander for 40 years seeking a home. David and Solomon, as kings, are going to establish a place where they could be. But in time, that kingdom's going to split and be conquered, and they're going to be taken into exile, pulled out from their homes into the land of Babylon. And when they finally do return from exile, they're no longer in control. Others are ruling their land. Persians, Greeks, Romans. The entire Old Testament is a history and a legacy of being outsiders, of wandering. And that legacy continues into the New Testament. Jesus is barely born before his families have to be refugees, fleeing the genocide of King Herod and living in the land of Egypt. And all the Christians who lived under Roman rule were treated as second-class citizens. Jesus himself said, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The churches that were formed by the Apostle Paul, we hear about in the book of Acts, existed pretty much on the margins of society. Those followers of Christ were in many cases either kicked out of the synagogues or were pushed to the perimeters of culture by the dominant Greek society. So our faith legacy is that we're an immigrant people, never fully at home, but ones who trust in the Lord who is with us. And so that's why the Bible consistently admonishes us to welcome the stranger, to take care of the alien, the immigrant in our midst. Deuteronomy 10, verse 19, "You shall love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Hebrews 13, 2, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Matthew 25, 35, "I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me water. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me." You don't get to pick and choose. We welcome those who come to us because ultimately we're not Pittsburghers. We're not Pennsylvanians. We're not Americans. In the eyes of God, we're all immigrants, foreigners, making our way as best we can in this earthly realm. To be an immigrant is not automatically a bad thing. By now, most of you have heard probably of Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's the young 36-year-old composer of the hit Broadway musical Hamilton. Miranda is the son of Puerto Rican immigrants. He grew up in America, a child of two cultures and two languages. So far, this 36-year-old has won a Pulitzer, two Grammys, four Tonys, an Emmy, and a MacArthur Genius Grant. Now, the subject of his most recent musical, the musical Hamilton, was also an immigrant. Alexander Hamilton was born as a poor child on the Caribbean island of Nevis. His father abandoned him. His mother died when he was young. At the age of 11, he was taken in by foster parents who saw his wisdom and his genius and sent him to America to be educated at the age of 16. That immigrant became then one of the greatest of the founding fathers. Early in the musical about Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda then includes this telling line. immigrants, we get the job done. If we're honest enough to name ourselves as immigrants and to seek to honor the commandments and the word of Christ that tells us to care for the strangers in our midst, then Jeremiah is still speaking to us today. Jeremiah 31, it's a section of the larger book called the Book of Consolation. And it's particular words aimed at comforting the people before they go to exile. But it opens with tears. A voice is heard in Ramah. Rachel is weeping for her children, and she refuses to be comforted, for they shall be no more. Now, in the Old Testament, if you remembered, Rachel was one of the wives of Jacob. And from her come the sons that become the leaders of the tribe of Judah. And from Judah becomes the southern kingdom of Israel. And it's during the time of Jeremiah that that southern kingdom of Judah is going to be overrun by the Babylonians, and all the leadership and most of the people are forced into exile. And so there is weeping in that moment, but Jeremiah goes further. The next verse offers words of hope. He says, "You will come back from the land of the enemy. So, set up road markers for yourself. Make for yourself guideposts. Consider well the highway, the road by which you travel." Now think about those instructions both literally and symbolically. The Israelites are going into exile. Jeremiah tells them, do not travel without hope. Notice where you're going. Notice the road. Set up markers along the path you're traveling. Why is that? They need markers because they're coming back. They're going to return. The literal message is, God will not abandon you. You will return. So dry your tears. But symbolically, the prophet is telling us to consider the roads that we travel in life. What guides us? What are our markers? What are our guideposts for where we're traveling? Are they God's commandments or someone else's? Are they God's laws or human fear, human pride? The actual location of where you're going or where we live is always secondary to how we live together. The zip code is far less important than the moral code. As Jeremiah says, it is God who restores our fortune. It is God who blesses us, who allows us to say, this is my abode of righteousness, my true home. And that passage in verse 24 goes further and says, Judah, this land, Judah and all its towns shall live together, the farmers and those who wander with their flocks. Farmers, those who settle in the land, those who establish fields, and nomads, those who wander with their flocks of sheep and cattle, immigrants, outsiders, they shall live together. Sometime in all of our history, we were the farmers, sometimes we were the nomads and the immigrants. But in God's plan, we're told to live together in righteousness. Now that biblical wisdom is fairly unambiguous, and it's not difficult. It's never about where you live as much as it's about how you live together. Our true home is not a place as much as it's a shared life with God and with one another. And recognizing that good news means that you've come home at last. Every day we hear news reports about people who are forced to flee their homelands, risking all they have, crossing rough seas, crossing dangerous borders, simply to live, simply to work, simply to get the job done somewhere safe. If you're ever tempted to blame the victims, to demonize the migrants and the refugees, I'd have you look up a poem that is simply titled Home. It was written by another immigrant, a Somali refugee poet named Warson Shire, S-H-I-R-E. And this is part of her poem. She writes this. You only leave home when home will not let you stay. You have to understand, no one puts their children in a boat unless the water is safer than the land. A voice is still heard today in Ramah. Rachel is still weeping for her children about to go into exile. Whether that Rachel is fleeing Mexico or Syria or Burma or Honduras. In truth, we are all immigrants. I am an immigrant. I am only here because my grandfather's parents came to this country from Syria at the end of the last century. And you are all immigrants too. And in so many spiritual ways, we all live in some form of exile. We're trying to make a home in this world while not being fully of this world. By claiming a common identity then as immigrants, there is hope in our shared humanity as children of a loving God. The theologian H. Richard Niebuhr said, "Through Christ, we become immigrants into the empire of God, which extends over all the world, and together we learn the history of that empire as our history." So we're about to celebrate our shared humanity and unity in Christ by gathering at this communion table. You will not be given seeds to grow your own wheat on your own fenced-off properties, nor will you receive special portions from this table based on your tax returns, your age, your gender, your sexual identity, your first language. You will all receive the same bread and juice, the communion of Christ, which is given for you as food for the journey, and nothing more. So take and eat, beloved migrant people of God. May we travel well together. Amen.